The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Traditionally known as man's best friend, dogs may be far more involved in family life than that term might suggest. From owners putting jumpers on their canine friends to general pampering, and in fact, 3 in 10 dogs get to sleep in the bed with their owner, or rather their pal. Many see the dog as a family member rather than some sort of subservient extra. You know, you do have the working dogs on farms, you do have guard dogs, you do have dogs who are regarded as playthings, but sleeping with your dog? Joining me now to talk about this phenomenon is Siobhan Owens, dog trainer and owner of the Dublin Pet School. Siobhan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Are you surprised at that number? 3 in 10 dogs get to sleep in the bed with their owners?
I'm not, actually. I would see quite a few clients whose dogs sleep on the bed.
Okay. What about yourself? You've got dogs. Do you allow your dogs to sleep with you?
Well, I have quite a few dogs and I allow 2 of them to sleep with us. One is for medical reasons. She's blind due to a medical condition. And the other one was a severe separation anxiety case who had 9 homes before I took him in. Mm-hmm. And so it was better that this dog was sleeping with us while we built relationships and bonds and boundaries and the whole lot. But this just worked out better for everyone's sake. But I certainly don't have all of the dogs sleeping with me.
Well, there mightn't be room. but let's talk about the dog with the separation anxiety and so on. The dog with the medical reasons I can understand, because you, for the dog's safety and so on, and for reassurance, that might be important given the blindness of the dog. But once you give dogs an inch, they take that inch and they expand that inch to a foot or a yard or a mile. You know, once you get the dog into the bed or on the bed, they will never leave.
Well, not necessarily true, Pat. I mean, if I was to go away, I would have different arrangements for my dogs. And this dog with the separation anxiety is so ingrained into the home now that sometimes he actually sleeps in the front room himself. He's happy to lie there. And once he's asleep, he's asleep and he's fine. And sometimes he'll come into the bedroom, because we did a lot of work in dealing with the separation anxiety. And it has now become more of a habit for me, in that I say, come on, you're coming to bed, as opposed to him needing to. So we dealt with the separation anxiety issue. He can be at home here fine when I'm gone. There's no destruction. There's no peeing. There's no nothing like that anymore, because we dealt with the behavior. It is more that the companionship for me, I quite enjoy him. I quite love this little guy. He's a great character. So he stays with me in the bed. And now it's not needed to fulfill the issue with separation anxiety. It's just something that I quite enjoy. But no. I would certainly see cases of dogs who are in the bed who would growl at the owners when, let's say, one person's gone to bed, they've taken the dog with them, and then the partner comes to join them. That's a different reason then.
Yeah. Is the dog jealous then of the partner arriving in the bed to share the space?
It's a space. It's a resource guarding issue. He might be resource guarding the space, the way he's sleeping in the bed, the person that he's sleeping with, that might be their favourite person. So that's a resource guarding issue. That's got nothing to do with the dog being in the bed per se. That would often happen, say, if they were sitting in the front room on the couch, and the same thing could happen in that circumstance as well. So it's not necessarily restricted to sleeping in the bed.
Now, what's your general opinion of pampering dogs? You know, getting the woolly jumpers for the dogs, dressing them up for Halloween, giving them birthday presents or Christmas presents. And some people regard that as an attempt at humanization of the dog, even giving the dogs human names rather than Spot or whatever it might be, Rover, Rex, those kind of typical dog names. Now it's, you could have a dog called John.
You could have a dog called John, yes. So let's look at the clothing issue first. I would see a lot of photographs. Let's say recently we had Halloween, and I'd see a lot of photographs or videos of dogs in costumes, and those dogs clearly look uncomfortable and they're being put into them for the amusement of the owners. Mm. On the flip side of that, because I compete in agility, we might see some agility dogs that after their run will be put into these little thermal fleeces to keep them warm after their run, or to cool them down if it's particularly warm. So people putting dogs in clothing, I would have quite an issue with a lot of the dogs being forced into clothing from a behavioral point of view, because they're uncomfortable. They don't want to be in them, and it's being done for the amusement of the person. Dog couldn't care less whether he had something, whether he was wearing the latest designer jacket or not. You know, it doesn't mean anything to the dog. It's how the dog feels wearing that clothing that would upset them more and therefore cause behavioral issues. For example, snapping while somebody's trying to take the jacket off because it hurt them. This would be not uncommon for me to come across something like that either.
Yeah. Now, the whole idea, though, of humanizing the dogs and putting them in the same status, I suppose, as people might put a child. And yet we know that, you know, your dog passes on and you get a new dog. You know, there is a certain amount of grief attached to losing the dog, but it's not the same as losing a child, for instance, not in any shape or form. And yet people do treat dogs as their children.
They can, of course they can. They can treat them as their replacement children. I would see, you know, some couples whose children have moved on and they have their first dog because the children are gone. I think it's worth saying that there was a recent study from the Department of Ethology in Lorand University, and they studied over 800 dogs and their owners to look at the benefits of dogs and how that relationship has evolved. You know, over years, like when you and I were growing up, predominantly our dogs were outside or they had a working purpose. And now a lot of dogs are inside. And in that study, though, they showed things, for example, the research came back positively that owners really enjoyed the company and the physical contact. And you can't have physical contact of a dog living out in the garden or if the dog is just sleeping in the utility room. But the physical contact of the dog sitting beside someone on the couch has brought great comfort. So when we label something as spoiling, I think we have to be really careful. I had a recent case, if I may share with you there, where a toddler was nipped in the face by a dog who was on the couch. And the lady's father said, well, that was because you have him spoiled. He's sitting on the couch. He shouldn't be on the couch. But surely if the dog was lying on the floor, and the circumstances was the toddler went over to the sleeping dog and grabbed his ear, and the dog turned and caught the child on the cheek with his teeth. But if the dog was sleeping on the floor and the child did the same thing, then you'd have the same response. But the lady's father from an older generation was very quickly to say, that's because that dog is spoiled. He's on the couch. He shouldn't be on the couch there. Whereas for me, what I did was I was obviously going to look at keeping everyone safe, putting up baby gates, talking through a 5-step program for the child and dog safety. So it's interesting to see what people's perception is of spoiling. Mm.
Now, the question then of what dogs will accept, for example, some dogs will be confined, as you put it there earlier, to the utility room, and that's their place, and that's the only place they're allowed. Other dogs are given free range across the house. Other dogs are kept outside, maybe in a garden shed. Do dogs just accept whatever the regime is laid down for them?
Well, I think if they have no choice, they will come to accept it. And I think that that could be sad for the dog. A lot of dogs who spend a lot of time out in the garden don't have the same relationship with the owners of dogs who spend a lot of time in the home with the owner. So the dog out in the garden, for example, they take that dog out for a walk twice a day and maybe they might let it off the lead and the dog won't come back. It doesn't have the same recall and attachment to the owner. It's very happy to go running off and enjoying itself. Whereas the dog that is in the home, and assuming, of course, they've done some training with it, they tend to have a much bigger attachment to their owner.
All right. Well, 3 in 10 dogs get to sleep in the bed. I don't know what people at home think about that. Maybe they are one of the co-sleepers or maybe not. But Siobhan, thank you very much for joining us. Siobhan Owens, dog trainer, behaviourist and owner of Dublin and Meath Pet School. Siobhan, thank you very much. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.